2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. We're going to read almost 10 verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present are absent, present with the Lord, or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Let's stop reading right there. Look up here. This scripture, this text, I'm going to use as kind of a springboard, and we're going to jump around a little bit in the book of Corinthians, is not talking about a building like you see around us right here. When it talks about building, it's talking about a body. The one speaking about, the one that you're enclosed, encompassed in right now, and the one that we will have when we get to heaven. I'm going to preach on the subject of heaven this morning. I just feel that is what I wanted to get away from it. I know Pastor did it not recently. But I knew I'd do a better job, so I need to do it. No, okay, you're waiting on that one, weren't you? But no, it'd be different. I want to talk about the people of heaven. I want to talk about the place of heaven and the purpose of heaven this morning. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll let you sit down. Father, thank you very much for the folks that are here today. God, I want to be a help and a blessing to everyone in this room, whether they're saved or whether they're lost, and they know not Christ as their Savior. I pray for your power to accomplish this. I need your help. I need you. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the singing that we've had. Thank you. But now it all comes down to the preaching of thy word. Please empower me and help the folks that are listening this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Yesterday, my wife and I were walking through the halls of a couple of our local nursing homes. And as I walked down through those halls, I saw folks that they were in the end of their years. They had bodies that were worn out, bodies that were hurt, bodies that were slumped over, and you could tell inflicted. You could hear people that were groaning in rooms. And I thought to myself, one day, though, they're going to get a new body. I'm going to get a new body, because I tell you what, I felt myself in that place. I'm getting to that age where thinking, this is going to be me. And then my wife brings out a little thing she read in the paper, the magazine, about little portals to put your parents in instead of nursing homes. And even got it, dug it out of the garbage and gave it to me this morning to look at it, you know, preparing for these things. And Nick says, hey, shut up there. I mean, excuse me, be quiet. Don't keep your mouth shut. We walked by a little lady. She was in a wheelchair and it had one of those kind of like our Miss Tracy has there. And has a little table in front of it, and she had her Bible out. She was asleep, but her Bible was open. And we went to see some of our loved ones from our church. But as I passed all those people, I thought to myself, we need to be reminded about heaven, ladies and gentlemen, because heaven is a real place. I think sometimes we lose sight of it, and oh, we use it and we say it, but we really don't believe what we're thinking. It's like something that's far off, you know. It's like your vacation that you're planning next year. You know, as it gets closer, it gets more real, but you know, it's way out in advance. You plan it in winter, and it's, you know, it's there, but you're not really scoping in on it. This morning, I want to talk about heaven. You know, one day we may be there sooner than we think. We have folks in this room whose loved ones went to heaven just recently. We have folks in this room whose loved ones left them the last couple of years and they're not here today. You might have friends, and we even have our own people in our church that are with their loved ones as they're getting ready to pass over and go to heaven this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here just this morning to tell you that heaven is real, and I want to preach about it this morning. You know, heaven's a real place. And there may be us in this room that think we are the healthiest thing in the world, may not be with us 1 year from today. We never know. So we need to prepare for heaven. Now, most of us are prepared. I hope you are. For those of you like me that are prepared, I just want to remind you that heaven is real this morning. But you know what? I want to go to heaven by the upper taker instead of the undertaker. Amen? I'd much rather be caught up to meet Jesus in the air than for my wife to have to call and say, bring the hearse, the old coot is dead. Turn back, better not say that. I'm listening. Isn't that a great cloud of witnesses? Turn back to 1 Corinthians, would you? Just a couple of pages back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me show you that. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 51. What are you talking about being caught up? I'm talking about the rapture. We give it the name rapture. The word rapture is not in our English Bible, the Word of God, but it comes from a word, I'll show it to you in a minute, caught up, which is a, and actually the word rapture comes from a Latin word that was translated caught up in the original language, and we got the word rapture from that caught up phrase. But let me show you these scriptures this morning. And just a reminder about heaven. Behold, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that means die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, and the last trump shall sound, and we shall be caught up to be with the Lord forever, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm looking for, and that's what you need to be looking for if you're a Christian today. You want to be snatched up and not carried off. Amen. This is called the blessed hope in the Bible. It is the word hope because it's not talking about salvation. If you look at the word hope, when it talks in this realm, in this context, it's never talking about hoping to get saved. It's talking about hoping not to have to go through physical death, but to be caught up. You look at the context of every time it's used in the Scriptures, it's always in that context. When it talks about hope, it's talking about not having to go through death's door or death's portal. But let me say this morning. Death is not as bad as some think. Ladies and gentlemen, it's kind of illustrated in this little illustration that I heard about this little girl. She was thinking about it. She was probably around the age of 5, and she was already pondering about death. And you know, we all do. It's not unusual. The little kids do. And this little girl told her mama, asked her mama and said, "Mama, what is death like?" And the mother thought for a second and said, "Honey, well, it's like this. This is the best way I can explain it. And I can explain it to you this way. You know, honey, sometimes you're playing in the living room. And you know, you're playing on the floor or you're playing up there on the couch and all of a sudden you fall asleep, which some of you are doing right now. You fall asleep, but the next morning you wake up and you're in your bed tucked in your covers. Honey, see, your dad in the middle of the night got up and he went and picked you up and carried you into your bed and laid you in that bed and put you to sleep and tucked you in. Honey, that's what death's like." Ladies and gentlemen, I think that's a good description what that mother gave her child. Because the Bible says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, but our Heavenly Father comes and gets us safely and takes us to heaven. Death is not as bad as it seems, ladies and gentlemen. Look at verse 55 again, would you? "Oh, death." We're right there. 1 Corinthians 15:55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that remember your biology, you know that a bumblebee, a honeybee, a bumblebee, when it stings you, it leaves the stinger in you, and that bee can never sting you again. Or anybody. Jesus Christ took the stinger from the bee of sin so that we would never have to taste death like he did for any of us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God that if we do have to go through death, we will not have to have the sting of death with it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like just going to sleep and our Heavenly Father just coming, taking us to heaven. Death's not as bad as it seems. Please don't fear it. Please be reminded that there is a heaven on the horizon. We but need to be prepared. How do we be prepared? Well, let's look at these Bible truths to see how we need to be prepared. Number one, we're going to look at the people of heaven. Number two, we're going to look at the place of heaven. And number three, the purpose of heaven. Quickly, the people of heaven. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Revelation. Turn to the book of Revelation. Look at chapter 21 this morning. I won't be long, since your clocks are already going off at the noon hour. I had 15 minutes to preach. No, I didn't. I didn't even have 15 minutes. When I started, I had 10 minutes. There ain't no way I'm going to get anything done in 10 minutes, so just relax. Last week, we stayed here till the air conditioning cut off, so I promise it won't cut off today. The people of heaven, look at it. Revelation 21, look at verse 27. Are you there? Revelation 21, 27. "And there shall in no wise enter into it." It is talking about what chapter 21 is talking about. And that's the new heaven and the new earth that will be made for us one day. It's being made, matter of fact, I believe. But it will set down on earth. And it says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But look at this next statement. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Ladies and gentlemen, the people of heaven are the people that are in the Lamb's book of life. You must be, and I must be, in the Lamb's book of life. Turn back one chapter to chapter 20. Look at verse 11. Chapter 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another, what's the singular or plural about book? Singular. That is the book of life. That is the Lamb's book of life. Look at it. Books were opened. One were multitudes, and then there was a single book opened, and it is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book according to their works. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, it says according to their works. No, when that books are opened, the multitude of books are opened. Those are just the records of your life and my life. And in those books shows our life and what we've done in our lives and what things have been accomplished. It shows when preachers have talked to us about being saved and knowing how to go to heaven and we rejected it or accepted it. It shows about what we did in our life. And those books are stuff so nobody can stand before God at this great white throne of judgment and say, I never heard about Jesus. God will open those books and reveal the life to everyone standing there. But that's not the final authority. And then God says, bring in the book. And that's the Lamb's book of life. And they'll say, no, your name's not written there. Ladies and gentlemen, those people, they will live forever, but they'll live forever in a place called hell. The only way that we're to get into the Lamb's book of life is to put our trust in the Lamb of God. We must have trust Jesus Christ in His death on the cross to get us into the Lamb's book of life. That's the only way. That's the only way you're going to get your name in that book. That's the only way. What do you mean, Brother Evans? This is real simple. It is very simple. Mark Evans has a list of sins. You could write it. It could stretch as tall as this ceiling. My sins could go up to the Empire State Building in length and tall of sins that I've done. Well, here's Jesus. Jesus, God's only Son. Jesus, God Himself, comes to earth and He dies on this earth to pay for man's sin. But see, there's a difference between my death and Jesus' death. See, my death, I had a sin penalty. Jesus' death, He has no sin penalty. Here's His list, and there's nothing on that list, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing. How Mark Evans got in that book is some 35 years ago, somebody told me about Jesus who died for my sin. And I put my trust in Jesus to save me. God right then took Jesus' list of sins. And how many sins on that list? How many sins on Jesus' list? None. God took Jesus' list and He put them on Mark Evans' list. And God allowed my list to be paid for by Jesus Christ. That's why Mark Evans, it's a sinner. See, I've been saved for 35 years, ladies and gentlemen. I've done a lot of wrong things in my life. I've sinned a lot, but listen to me. Listen closely. And people will say, well, you can't sin and still get to heaven. Yes, you can. Because when God sees me, He looks at that book. He sees not my sins on the account, but He sees Jesus' account applied to me. And there's no sin. That's how a sinner can get into heaven, because we've got our name written in the Lamb's book of life. And there's no sin on our account. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me this morning. Listen to me very closely. I don't care what you've done, how righteous you are, where you've been, what you've done. I don't care how many church rolls you've been on. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. You can look like a prune. You've been baptized so many times. But if your name is not in the book of life, you will not get into heaven. You must trust Jesus. That's the people of heaven. You must listen to me. I don't care how sincere you are this morning. I don't care if you've been a deacon, you've been a Sunday school teacher. If you don't remember the time when you, like me, turned and said, Jesus, please, I need to be saved. Will you save me? And put your trust in Jesus. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what your mother says. It doesn't matter what your Sunday school teacher says. It matters what you've done. Can you take me to the time and the place when you personally asked Jesus Christ to save you? I can't save you. Your parents can't save you. This church can't save you. That baptistry can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. Why? Because He wants to put you in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the people of the book. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning? Do you have confidence in that? Well, what is your confidence in? Is it in Jesus or is it in you? Question this morning. Listen, I don't care how sincere. You can go down to this airport. You can buy a ticket to get on a plane. You can go through the gate. You can go through all the security measures. You can do all that. And then you get to the gate and the plane's on the tarmac. And you're not going to get on that plane unless you get on the plane. That's very profound, isn't it? I'm afraid many of us do all the ticket buying, do all the religious stuff, and do all this and do all that, but we just don't get on the plane that God has designed for us to get on. I'm asking you this morning, are you the people of heaven? See, we're the people now. We're the people then, and we'll be the people for eternity. But you must be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can I talk to you just a second about the place of heaven? Presently, heaven is somewhere above the stars. The Hubble hadn't been able to see it yet, and it won't. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that it's in a place that it's so far out that we can't even see it. But all you can see and all that we know that it's above the stars that we see on a moonlit night. Young boy was on the porch with his grandfather. And it was out in the country, and it wasn't even a moonlit night. It was just total darkness. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? If you've ever seen the sky when there's no city lights or anything, and you look up into that Milky Way and you see that what we live in, just our galaxy, it's unbelievable sight. That little boy was sitting on the porch with his grandfather, and he was looking up. And he leaned over to his grandfather and said, Gramps, man, heaven is so beautiful looking from the outside. What must it look like from the inside? Ladies and gentlemen, heaven is a real place. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. Heaven is a place where we go. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Now, you don't need to turn there if you want. Stay there. You don't have to turn there. Look at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, that's dead in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that he which is alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be, there's that word, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. Wherefore, ladies and gentlemen, heaven right now is somewhere above the stars that we see in heaven. It is a place where one day, if we die before the resurrection, before the rapture, we'll get a new body. That's what our text talked about. Turn back. Are you there? 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:1, our text. Let me read it to you. If you're not there, just don't worry about it. For we know that if our earthly house and this tabernacle were dissolved, that's our bodies, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 35. Listen to this. Are you trying to turn there? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Ladies and gentlemen, one day we're going to get rid of this body. And in this body, which is Bible, the book of Romans, Paul says that this body contains sin. It is sin. It tempts us. It tests us. It makes us yield to things that we wouldn't normally do. But one day we're going to get rid of this body. And that's either through the rapture or our death. That's why Paul said in our text as we read it, he said, whether present with him or absent with him, we are longing to be there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just a temporary house that we have. This is a body that's temporary. One day in heaven, in the place of heaven, we're going to get a temporary body. I'll prove that to you. You know the story of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man was able to identify Lazarus over across that great gulf that was fixed. He was able to look over and see Abraham. He was able to recognize them. There is some kind of body they have right now, as our text said, which is a temporary body until we get the final body at the end of the resurrection of time. There's a tombstone in London, England that have these words on it. Beneath these clouds and beneath these trees lies the body of Solomon Pease. This is not Pease. It's only his pod. Pease has shelled out and gone home to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I know death. There is a stigma of scaredness, of afraidness. But you know what? Anybody that's died before us that's gone on, they could tell us right now, there's no sting in it. See, it's us that are here, that are left, that are worried about it. We're the ones that are concerned about it. But ladies and gentlemen, this morning I want to tell you there is a place in heaven where we get a new body, and one day we'll get another body after this rapture. There's a 7-year period, and then there's a millennium, 1,000 years, and then when Revelation 20, we saw it, there'll be a great white throne set up. The lost will be separated from the saved, and God will send to hell those that are not saved, and this new heaven will be set up on this earth. Revelation, you don't need to turn there. Revelation chapter 20 in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven Revelation 21. I'm reading the wrong one. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a place. Right now it's above the stars. One day it will be on this earth. But there is a place called heaven. Can I give you the third and last this morning about heaven? We talked about the people of heaven. We must be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't count on your religious things, your experiences. Please count on what the Bible says. Number two, the place of heaven. It's a real place. It's above the stars right now. One day it'll be here on earth, and we'll live and serve God, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But then I want to talk to you about the purpose of heaven. And the purpose of heaven is to restore the Garden of Eden like it was. It was a place where God had created for us, where there was no sin, where there was no curse, where everything was there. Revelation chapter 22. One day there'll be no more curse. Look at the curse. Verse 3 tells us this of Revelation 22. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of heaven is to get rid of the curse. One day there will be no more curse. And what is the curse? Well, the curse is sin. Look at Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Ladies and gentlemen, those are the effects of sin. And there'll be no more sin. So there will be no more crying. There'll be no more death, because everything will be right. It'll be like it was supposed to be in the Garden of Eden, where they walked and they talked and they served their God. The ground will be no more cursed. We'll produce all we want. We shall continue to work in heaven. But the thing is, we won't work for the almighty dollar. We'll work for Him. Look at it. You're in Revelation 21. Look at verse 24. And the nations of them, now this is the end of the chapter talking about the new heaven and the new earth. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. You look up the word glory and honor, it talks about the things that we've done and created that bring honor and glory to God. It talks about commerce being there, but it'll be for the glory of God. But most important, purpose of the heaven, we can walk in fellowship with our God as Adam did in the Garden of Eden. Says the Bible that God will walk with him. Look at verse 22 of that same chapter in verse 21. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now watch this. And the city had no need of sun, neither of moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now watch this. And the nations of them which are saved shall what? Walk in the light therein. Ladies and gentlemen, one day we'll be able to walk with Jesus like He had it set up to be in this earth in the Garden of Eden. God will restore everything the way it should be. That's the purpose of heaven. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Ladies and gentlemen, won't you come and go with us that are going to heaven today? I don't know who you are. I don't know a lot of your testimony. But I do know this. The people of heaven are the people that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you written there? I do also know that there is a place of heaven. It's real, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a story, but it's a literal physical place that we go when we die, or we go when Jesus calls us there. And then I also know that the purpose of heaven is to restore everything right that sin has destroyed. Won't you come and go with us? Won't you go with us? Hey, I know the hour's late. And I know the Bible says we see through a glass darkly right now. And it's hard. It really is. It takes faith. And we do believe in heaven by faith. Amen? But right now, the Bible says it's like a glass in front of us, and we can't really touch, physically touch it. But one day, we will be able to touch. Quick story, and I'll have the invitation. There was a little boy that his mother was raising him in London, England. That little boy, his father had died, and the mother was the sole source of income. And she was doing all she could, but she couldn't do enough. So the little boy took a paper route to sell papers on the streets of London, England. Every day he'd go to his paper route, and he'd walk by a little storefront building. And in that storefront building, there was a display of beautiful metal soldiers, all decked out in their fighting positions, you know, with everything. And every day the little boy would just get right up close to that window showing in that store that display of those soldiers. And he would just stare and look and imagine and dream. Then he'd leave, and every day he'd come back when he passed that way for his paper route. One day the store owner, he noticed this. And one day the store owner noticed that that little boy didn't show up. And so he started asking around, and he found out that the little boy had been hit in the streets by a carriage or something, and he was in the hospital and unconscious. The store owner went to his window display and gathered up all those metal soldiers and went to visit at the hospital. His mom was there, and he explained the situation and said, "May I leave these little soldiers here on the table where the food goes?" The mother said, "Sure, yes." A few days later, that little boy came out of the coma, opened his eyes, and there on that little tray that in front of his bed to keep the food were all those soldiers. And he exclaimed, his mother sitting right there exclaimed, "Mom, Mom, look, the soldiers, and there's no glass between." Ladies and gentlemen, I know there's a glass right now between us and heaven, but one day there will be no glass. I'm here to tell you this morning, heaven is real. Please don't fear it. Don't fear death. But we got to be a people of heaven. That requires being in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're not in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning, please, this invitation, as soon as the ladies play, walk to this aisle. We'll have somebody privately take you. You could be the member of this church. You could be, have your names on any row. I don't know what it is. You could be coming here for months and months. But if you don't know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning, take care of that. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed.